The South Akron Youth Mentorship is exactly what the name implies. These folks mentor the youth of Akron, Ohio. If you would like to volunteer or perhaps help with a charitable donation, please visit saymentor.org and find out how you can help out today. That's saymentor.org.
Welcome to the Phil Nason's Show.
Welcome to the Phil Nason Show. I'm happy to have you here. We'll be here for the entire hour, and we're going to have a lot of fun today. We'll talk NBA MVP stuff with Amar. Jamie and Smith and I will talk about the Eastern Conference bubble teams. Matt Moore and I will look at the Cleveland Cavs, the Phoenix Suns, as well as the Oklahoma City Thunder. Tony Omoteo will be here to talk all things Atlanta Legends basketball. But up first, as I've said all day, one of the main reasons why this show has been nominated for Podcast of the Year are the guests that we have on the show. And joining me now is one of those big reasons. Please welcome from the number one Portland Trail Blazers website in the world, please welcome their managing editor, Dave Deckard, is in the house. Dave, how you doing? Welcome to the show.
Well, Phil, they should just give you a word for Podcast of the Millennium and be done with it.
I appreciate that. Getting that intro out is difficult, man. I tell you, the Blazers Edge podcast that you and I co-host is, or the Tuesday version of it, is a lot easier to open. This one takes a little more time.
Yeah, a little more complicated.
A little bit more. But anyhow, LaMarcus Aldridge, the first MRI on his injured thumb, proved inconclusive. What's next? There's an MRI scheduled for today, Thursday, right?
Well, yeah, and hopefully we'll have some kind of announcement. Really, it could be anything at this point. I don't want to speculate too much. I mean, you've heard everything from, well, it's a bad sprain to, well, it's ligament damage that could require surgery, and we don't know. So they're keeping mum, and for good reason, I think. Probably they've been burned before by announcing, you know, this injury isn't that bad, and then it turned out to be devastating. So they're going to not announce anything until they know fully and can give a complete prognosis. Until then, all we can do is speculate, which is kind of fruitless. So we'll see. We have no idea.
You're right. We're not doctors, nor do we play them on TV. But what we can do, though, is we can talk about what this team is going to look like, at least for tonight, Thursday against Boston, without LaMarcus Aldridge, because he's not playing tonight.
Not that we know of.
That
would be a huge surprise. I can't imagine that happening. Let's put it that way. And it's night and day different without Aldridge. We've seen that already. Of course, it doesn't help that Robin Lopez and Joel Freeland are still out. So now the Blazers have lost three of their original top four front court players. They are down to Chris Kaman starting. They are down to making use of Myers Leonard, Thomas Robinson, Darrell Wright in the power forward / center positions. And the rebounding isn't the same. The defense isn't the same. And then you have the secondary effect on Portland's guards in that you have a lot more offensive pressure on Damian Lillard and Wesley Matthews for them to produce points. But you also have corresponding defensive pressure from the opponent who doesn't have to watch Aldridge anymore. So they're more tightly covered. So their shooting percentages and shot selections go way down. And on defense for the Blazers, it's a nightmare because those guards have never been really that great at containing. But part of the wonderful synergy of the Blazers is that Lopez and Aldridge have been really smart and really active in helping out when the guards lose containment. That's not happening at all now, as we saw last night in Phoenix. The guards lose containment, and then the opposing guard scores easily. And the help isn't there. The intimidation factor isn't there. And with the rebounding not being there, it's really kind of a little bit of a sad scene.
Yes, it is. It really is. One of the bright spots, though, last night, and go figure, that's finally the night that I sat him down on my fantasy team, and Nicholas Batum went and played like Nicholas Batum used to play. I mean, he had a big night, right?
Well, yeah, like Nicholas Batum used to play times two. I mean, he had 27 points and 10 rebounds and really had a nice game with an asterisk of sorts on the scoring in that, I mean, the opponents decided we're going to hawk Portland's guards and leave everybody else to their own devices. And Batum was able to take advantage of that, obviously, in a way that his current front court compatriots could not, because no matter how wide open you leave Thomas Robinson, unless he's dunking, he's not going to score 20, but Batum can. So he did, but you had to have Wesley Matthews and Damian Lillard jacking up a lot of shots in order to make that happen, and their percentages were correspondingly low. So it would have been a little more impressive had all three been going at once and had the defense really been on their heels. I think instead the defense just decided we're going to shut down those guards now and let Nicola Batum try to beat us, which he did greatly. I mean, he almost pulled his team back in it, but didn't quite manage it. And that's not his fault either. He did everything he could. But, you know, I think opponents, long story short, are going to take Batum's scoring over that of Lillard or Matthews.
No, I think you're right. I watched the game last night. And one of the things, you know, because I had to talk about Phoenix and I've only seen them play a couple of times. And then I wanted to look at them without LaMarcus Aldridge. And to be honest with you, I've seen them play most of their games now. And it's day and night. And I don't know how in the world anyone who's watched this basketball team cannot select LaMarcus Aldridge for All-Star, because he is an All-Star. He could even be an MVP, because that's a different team without him.
Yeah, you look at the difference. And, of course, it's just one game so far, but it really is night and day apparent. And it's not like the Blazers can't win or won't have good outings. I mean, I expect them to win tonight against Boston. But you can see the tangible difference in this team's approach, this team's synergy. Everything changes when Aldridge is out. And everything that was good elite level, 30 wins out of 40 games level about them, just isn't there when Aldridge is out.
Yeah, you're right. You know, I don't want to pick on the defense, especially the backcourt defense against a team like Phoenix, because they do doctor a lot of teams. But tonight's going to be a very good test against Boston to see where this basketball team is at, probably, more than likely, minus LaMarcus Aldridge. Their guards in Boston aren't as strong as the kids in Phoenix. Maybe this is going to be a game where Damian just takes over.
Yeah, and that's still possible as well. I mean, keep in mind the Blazers did score 113 points against Phoenix. Now, they allowed 118, which was a disaster. 88 points went to the guards in Phoenix. So 75% of Phoenix's scoring in a basically 120-point game came from the guards. That's how bad it was. But if you don't have those high-octane guards starting and coming off the bench, and you know, you're not that talented up and down defensively, then I think Damian Lillard can still shish kebab you pretty easily. And it's not like the Blazers are going to roll over. They'll get wins. But when you start thinking of, you know, before this, we were talking about the Blazers are legit. The Blazers can hang with anybody in the West. They have a chance against anybody and, you know, conference finalists and stuff like that. That talk obviously would be out the window without Aldridge present.
Yeah, I hear you there. It's going to be tough. But coming up Thursday night, tonight, Boston, then Saturday, Washington at home. And then it's a road trip, Brooklyn and Cleveland. This is a trip where the Portland Trailblazers should have gone 4-0, but 3-1 realistic?
Depends. I mean,
without LaMarcus Aldridge, can they still beat a team like Washington?
They can beat them, sure, but obviously those guards are kind of a nightmare. I mean, it's going to be a nice guard battle there with Wall and Beal versus Matthews and Lillard. The problem is, can the big guys back up their guards? And, you know, the big guys are going to have to worry about Nene. The big guys are going to have to worry about Gortat. So you've got issues there. They can beat them, but it's obviously a much, much tougher game without Aldridge. Cleveland owes the Blazers, so I wouldn't necessarily expect a win there. So yeah, it's tough. They could go 3-1, but that'd be a really good record.
I think I said on our show that we were going to go 4-0. I don't know. I guess I missed a beat. But we'll have to wait and see with LaMarcus, and we'll have to wait and see. Dave, great stuff today. Good luck the rest of the week. We'll see you next week.
Absolutely. Appreciate it.
Thank you, sir. That was Dave Deckard. You can find him at BlazersEdge.com. You can also find him co-hosting a podcast with me called The Blazers Edge. And we'll be right back. You're listening to The Phil Nason Show. Welcome back to The Phil Nason Show. If this is the first time you've tuned in, we've decided here at The Phil Nason Show to follow a UBA team called the Atlanta Legends. And joining me to talk about them every week is their star player, Mr. Tony Omoteo, is on the line. Tony, how you doing? Welcome to the show.
Hey, I'm doing great. Thanks for having me.
Oh, it's my pleasure. How's things going with the camp, and how's things going with the team?
Things are going as good as they possibly can. We're ready to get the season underway. There's a lot of anticipation going on right now.
Yeah, we're anticipating it too. Now, when does the season officially kick off for you guys?
Season kicks off this Sunday, January 25th at 5 p.m. at 2220 Campbellton Road, the Andrew Young YMCA.
That's perfect.
In Atlanta, Georgia.
Yep, in Atlanta, Georgia. And tickets are what, $7 a piece, right?
Yeah, tickets are $7 at the door.
And that's fantastic. Now, we want to talk more about the team. Now, the team is fully picked now, right?
Yes, sir.
And who do we okay, go ahead.
I was about to say, you know, with sports, it's always a fluid situation, though. So, you know, at any moment, we can make whatever moves we deem necessary to get better. But it's pretty much set in stone for right now.
Yeah, of course, because the NBA may take somebody like you, for example, or whatever, or somebody might sign in Europe. That happens all the time in that league, right?
Yes, sir.
And that's what we're looking for. That's why the UBA exists, so that these young fellas can get a chance to showcase their talents and hopefully one day, you know, fulfill their dreams of playing at the top level, whether it's in Europe or here in the NBA in America. And that's why we want to kind of give these guys some pub. Now, who's Martrez Scott?
Martrez Scott is he's a swing man who's pretty good, but I don't know. We don't know what we're gonna do with him. We've loaded up this season, so you know he's kind of in an iffy spot right now, actually.
But he was last year, right?
Yeah, he was our second leading scorer last year, and our leader in assists.
And that's how much better the team is this year, right?
Yeah, we've reloaded, man.
Absolutely have. You've got a whip over there. Now, obviously, you're back. You're the leading scorer from last year. Do you anticipate being the leading scorer again this year?
you know, without being cocky, yeah. I feel like I walk into the gym with 20 points, so I shouldn't leave with anything less than 30 per night.
There you go, 30 per night. That's why T.O. is the star of the team. And that's why T.O. is probably the best player in the UBA and why he's on the show. But he's also my friend, so I'm going to say that anyway. I'm a little biased here, Tony. But now, what about Waylon Jones? Is he back this year?
Waylon is actually playing in Montenegro right now. He'll be back for the playoffs. His season ends in May, so he'll be back for the playoffs.
Okay, now how does that work, though, Tony? How does it work for these guys who are on rosters? Now, he's playing overseas, and that's the goal of this team, obviously, in this league. How does that work? He's eligible to come back for the playoffs because he's on your roster as well, right?
Yes, because he's already on our roster. He's already signed, sealed, and delivered. And, you know, the powers that be, they understand that this league is a vehicle for everyone to get to the top leagues anywhere around the world that they can. So, you know, they pretty much get it.
And that's what we want. And we want the fans to get it too, that number two might not be there next week. He could be, who knows, he could be playing for Maccabee or somebody, right?
Yeah. And that's the interesting thing. We actually just picked up a guy, Cam Tatum. You may know him. He played at the University of Tennessee. He's actually leaving in February to go to the Dominican Republic to play in the Santiago League. So, guys, you know, we don't do anything to hold people back. All we're trying to do is build people up and send them on out.
And that's the way it should be. Now, you have a starting five in place yet, or, well, you should by now. Yeah. Who do you got? Who's your starting five?
Starting five, we have Herman Favors. He's a guard, a point guard from Georgia State. Michael Sloan, he's a guard from Clayton State. Myself, I graduated from Fort Valley. We have Zadrian Gibson at power forward. He's a really athletic stretch four. He played at Kennesaw State. And then we have Mark Harp, who we just drafted. He kind of reminds me of a young Amari Stoudemire, the way he plays.
Big and fast and can dunk like the daylights, right?
Yes, sir. And he's mean. He's mean out there. That's the best part about it.
Well, that wasn't Amari Stoudemire. Well, Amari was mean on offense, I suppose. But that's good. That's a good comparison. That's a good starting five. Now, if I'm going to look at your team and I'm going to look for who's coming off the bench, who am I looking for?
Where do we start?
That's what we want you here. That's what we want to do is get you to do it. Tell us about the legends, brother.
As I told you, we have Cameron Tatum, who is – he's obviously he just joined us. He was one of our late additions, which is the only reason why he's not in the starting lineup, because this guy, he's 6'7". He plays the shooting guard. He can fill up the cup, and he's long. He's good on defense. He's he's a point-a-minute type of guy. So he's going to come in sixth man and just light things up. We have Brian Kelly coming off our bench. He played at Duquesne and Clayton State. He's our Rick Mahorn. He's a throwback guy. All he wants to do is go out there and grab the most rebounds, block the most shots, take the most charges, and set mean, vicious picks and get guys open. We have Roderick McReynolds, who we drafted this season. He came from Jacksonville State. He'll be a backup point guard. Lance James, he's kind of a combo guard. He went to Cleveland State. And then we have Bryce Kellogg, who's returning from last season. He's a sniper off the bench.
Sounds like a good squad. Now, in this league, the UBA, are there any other players that possibly the listeners might recognize from their college days?
Well, the two guys that people would stand out the most would obviously be Jermaine Barnes. He's been the face of the league since his inception. He had a workout with the Knicks, I want to say, in 2012, and he made it to Minnesota Timberwolves training camp early this season before he got injured. And then we also have DeAndre Bray, who was last year's MVP. He played for the Prime. He's played for the Harlem Globetrotters, and now he's just signed a deal to play in Ball Up, which is like the 2015 version of N1. So he'll be covered on ESPN coming in either June or July. Those are the two most notable guys, though.
And is there anyone else possibly that someone might know so they can kind of root for a team besides the legends, of course?
I wouldn't recommend rooting for anyone but the legends.
Okay,
but,
that's fair enough. I mean, that goes without saying, but we also want to kind of kick up the league a little bit too, though. We got to give somebody a fan or two, or they'll get disappointed.
Yeah, like I said, there's Freddie Williams, who plays for the Miley Matrix, the GIE Matrix. He actually was one of the top scorers when we went to the Dominican Republic a few weeks ago and won the Mitchell America's Cup. They also had John Humphrey, who you may know as Helicopter from N1 days. He also played with the GIE Matrix.
The Helicopter's in the UBA. I like it. That's great. Now, you play Sunday. You open up Sunday. Who you play, and what do you look for? What do we look for from you guys, and what do we look for from your opponents who are probably going to lose on Sunday?
We play the Georgia Spartans. And these guys are like our arch rivals. So you can look for blood to be in the water, and you can look for the Sharks to come hunting. That was the last team that I was going to play for before I branched off on my own. And I have a sour taste in my mouth about them. So every time we see them, we want to punish them and make a statement.
And that's the way it should be. Now, how do the legends make that statement? What do we look for from in terms of offense from you guys?
Well, there's really nothing that we can't do offensively. But our main focus is defensively. We like to pressure guys all 94 feet. It's going to be a long day for anybody who's handling the ball. You're going to feel it afterwards. We're physical. We're long. We love playing defense. We're going to get out and run every chance we get. But as far as offense goes, there's really nothing we can't do. We have shooters out there. We have a point guard in Herman Favors and Roderick McReynolds that set the floor. They set the table for guys and make it really easy for us to eat. Myself, you know, I'm in the mid post. I'm flying. Whatever you want to do, I'm getting to the rack. We have Mike Sloan, Bryce Kellogg, Lance James. Those guys are snipers. They shoot from distance with ease. And in the post, like I said, we have Zadrian Gibson, who's a stretch four. So it's going to be a long day for anybody trying to guard him. And Mark Harp, he dunks everything. Everything. He would dunk a free throw if he could.
All right. I like it. I like it. Now, the opening night, folks, is Sunday. And you can watch the game at the Andrew Young Facility in Atlanta, Georgia. The Atlanta Legends take on the Georgia Spartans, and Tony will be here next week to tell us all about what happened and what we can look forward to with the Atlanta Legends. Go Legends! Tony, thanks for being on the show.
Oh, man, thanks for having me.
All right, that was Tony Omoteo, and you can catch him over at legendshoops.net or at the Andrew Young YMCA. Go get him, Atlanta Legends, and we'll be right back. You're listening to The Phil Nason Show. Welcome back to The Phil Nason Show. One of the big reasons why this show was nominated for Podcast of the Year is the guests. I've been saying it for the last 2 days, and I'll keep saying it. And joining me now is another big reason. Please welcome, from hardwoodparoxysm.com, Matt Moore is in the house. Matt, how you doing? Welcome to the show.
Doing well. How are you?
I'm doing fantastic. Being in Akron, people are excited about the Cleveland Cavaliers. They're winning again. Is this team a paper tiger? Because sometimes I look at this team and I go, huh? They played well the last four games, though.
It's the best way I can think to say it is that, you know, they're only a paper tiger in that you have the perception of them being a contender because they have LeBron. If you take LeBron James off of that team, right, and it's Kyrie Irving and Kevin Love and a roster full of old dudes that can't defend, okay? Your reasonable expectation for them is going to be, oh, they should make the playoffs. I mean, they won't get very far, but they should make the playoffs. And you add LeBron, and all of a sudden it becomes, well, they should win a title. And I'm not sure that that's really how it should be. I think that they're legit in that they are very talented and they have a high upside. And when they're clicking, they look really great offensively. But even when they win, defensively, they're just not there. And I don't know what it's going to take. I really don't know whether it's just going to have to be time or if they're going to have to draft or if they're going to have to make a trade or other free agents. I don't know what it's going to take for them to reshape their defense, but it has to basically be completely reconstructed because they cannot win multiple rounds in the playoffs with their defense as constructed. And I can't look at this roster and say, oh, with more time, they could get into a groove. I just don't think they have the ability to defend at a high enough level, and that's going to keep them from being – an elite team. And we have to recalibrate expectations, and that's going to be difficult because how do you recalibrate the expectations of the best player on the planet?
You know, that's a good answer. I think with the addition of Timothy Mozgov, he's made a big difference. They seem to play a little bit better, but last night they blew a 26-point lead and they end up winning. I mean, obviously they won, but still, they just don't play defense. What about David Blatt? Where do you see him finishing? Do you see him finishing this year?
Yeah, he's going to get through. They're starting to buy in a little bit. I've been impressed the last week or so. They're defending with a lot more energy. They're playing with a lot more focus. They have a little bit of an identity now, which was missing, honestly, for the first 2 months of the season. And while I don't think that's great, it's still going to be good enough for him to stay. They're really stubborn in believing that what they do is going to work. And so it's going to have to really be disastrous for him to not make it through the season. Now, at the end of the year, that's kind of going to depend. But I think as a starting block, it's been okay because nobody really believes that he is the problem there.
Yeah, I hear you there. It could be interesting, though, with him, too. J.R. Smith, who is this guy? He certainly wasn't there since the time he elbowed Jason Terry for the Knicks anyway. Do you think this is going to last?
Oh, no. Not at all. No. I mean, he is not a good player, and any sort of ideas that he is incorrect. He is not a good defender. He is not a good player. He's not good at all. And so he'll give them some moments. He may win them a playoff game because he can get hot, but eventually his shot selection will cost them. His hijinks will kick back up. He'll do something that costs them. He has overall always been a negative and will always be a negative. We are too far in his career to think that he can turn this around.
And that's what I tell all my friends. I remember pumping him up hard for Sixth Man of the Year. He retweeted my tweet. I was living in Greece at the time. He retweeted it at 4 a.m. Eastern time. I was like, wow. And you have a 12 o'clock game? Wow. But that's right. You're absolutely right. Now, talk about playoff teams. I get more questions about the Thunder. I've got the guys on every week from Welcome to Loud City. Is that team going to make the playoffs?
Yeah, I think they're going to make it. And I think it's going to be a shame because I think the Phoenix is probably even a better team overall. But Durant and Westbrook are able to carry them a really long way. Like they're able to carry them a crazy long way. So I think the Thunder will end up making the playoffs. I don't like a lot of this roster, though. I'm not convinced this team is built to actually compete in the playoffs. And how they do, I think, will determine a lot in terms of Scott Brooks' future and what happens. And it's getting kind of scary for them because of Durant's looming free agency. This is a big season for them. They're trying to just keep calm and carry on. But I think you look at that roster and, you know, even with the addition of Waiters, you don't look at them and think that they have a really potent offense. I mean, you compare them to even, you know, that finals team, the 2012 team, and they don't have the same kind of guys. Their contributors just aren't at the same level, and that it has caused a huge impact on them. They had more reliable contributors in 2012 than now.
And if they don't get past the first round, Scott Brooks, he's gone, right?
I mean, I would imagine. You know, I think it's tough to keep him. I tend to think I defend Scott Brooks more than most guys, but I think at some point they're going to have to make a move just based off of perception. And if you realize we just can't get past where we want it. We can't get to where we want to go with Brooks, then he's got to go. And he's going to wind up being the scapegoat for their problems.
More than likely, yeah, I'm pretty hard on him, I think, and I think a lot of guys are. I don't think they're going to make the playoffs, though, because I got this bad feeling. I think it's one of those years where they could be just injury-plagued. They're healthy now, of course, but we'll have to wait and see. Now, you mentioned Phoenix. I wanted to talk a little bit about them. What is it about them that makes you think that Oklahoma City is going to catch them? Because I think it would be a shame, too. I happen to like this Phoenix team.
Phoenix has some problems in closing out big games. So the problem with the problem with OKC is that they're inconsistent. But the problem with the Suns is that they only have an upside so high. They caught the Spurs earlier in the season when the Spurs were struggling, but then the Spurs have turned around and beaten them the last time that they faced one another. And trying to get through the Western Conference and all the teams that they're going to face, they have a brutal schedule. And when that happens, it's one game after another, and it's not going to be this big drop off, but you look at the standings and in reality, the Thunder are just, they're right there because, you know, the Suns are, they're two up in the loss column. And that's just not a whole lot. The Thunder are only three games back. And so you realize that a two game slide by OKC or by the Suns and a two-game game by the Thunder, and all of a sudden this is competitive. The Thunder aren't going to overtake them in a week. It's going to take 2 months, but I think it'll come right down to the wire, and then you're counting on a team that doesn't have as much experience, that doesn't have the best player to hold off OKC, and I think that's going to be very tough for them.
Well, let's look at that last month. They have Miami on April 2nd, they being Phoenix, Chicago, Milwaukee, Boston twice, Detroit, and Washington again. Yeah, that's kind of iffy there. It's half and half, right?
Is that for OKC or?
That would be for Phoenix.
Phoenix? Yeah, and then like that's a soft landing for them. But again, you're looking at like last year, they had a two-game lead going in the last 3 weeks of the season, and they blew it, you know? And the other thing to keep in mind here is the Goran Dragic situation is really tenuous right now because all of his body language and comments suggest that he's probably leaving at the end of this year. And that would be a crushing blow to them. And having that way over, like the chemistry hasn't been the same this year. They've been good. They've been really good. But the chemistry hasn't been the same. And if that has an impact on them, I think that's going to hurt their momentum.
Now here's OKC's schedule from April 1st on. Dallas, Memphis, Houston, San Antonio, Sacramento, Indiana, Portland, Minnesota. That's why I don't think they're going to make it.
I know, but then again, I'm just telling you. Like, no. I mean, look what they did last night, right?
Right.
Like, on the road, Wizards team down 9. Like, they're down double digits. Uh-oh, the Thunder are in trouble again, and they just closed out because Westbrook and Durant are that good. And at some point, like, you have to have faith in what this team has accomplished because, you know, this is a team that's been to the Western Conference Finals, like, what, 3 out of 4 years? They have the experience to make this happen, and that counts for a lot when things get tough.
Yeah, I agree with you there. I just look at that schedule. That's how I look at things. The last month is always for me the kind of the litmus test. We'll see what happens. You know, I think that maybe they will, maybe they won't. But either way, this was a great segment. Thanks for being on the show with me, Matt.
Anytime, man.
All right, that was Matt Moore. And you can find him at hardwoodparoxysm.com. You can also find him at cbssports.com. And we'll be right back. You're listening to The Phil Nason Show.
The Phil Nason Show will return after these brief messages.
Riveting talk radio.
People cannot get away from the internet.
Well, though. I think it probably comes from porn as well. You
yeah.
Know what I mean, that's got to sure. be a big, strong big, thing. Strong
oh, that's thing. Gross. That's disgusting.
And it freaks me out.
My cheeks are sealed.
We love talk radio.
Bend over, baby.
Do you see what I'm saying?
WeirdTalkSuperstation.com.
Better than sex.
I don't know how good sex is.
We're going to do a lot of drinking.
Talk radio. Bend over, baby.
That was great.
FanDuel and the Phil Nason Show have partnered to bring you a very special offer. FanDuel will give you a 100% signing bonus of up to $200 with your first-time initial deposit. To receive this bonus, simply sign up at FanDuel using the promo code PhillyFlash and go win some cash with a flash at FanDuel.com.
Central Portugal's only English-speaking information station, this is Epix Radio. Listen online, www.epixradio.com.
If you're looking for a great Portland Trail Blazers talk radio show, then look no further than the Blazers Edge podcast with Dave Deckard and Phil Nasons. For weekly hard-hitting commentary about your Trailblazers and fun NBA talk as well, please try the Blazers Edge podcast at blazersedge.com.
Maximum Sports Channels is more than just a radio station. Phil's Fantasy Sports Blog, The Writer's Garret, up-to-the-minute news feeds, great sports and entertainment commentary, Maximum Sports TV, including professional powerboat racing, and of course, the hottest music on the planet. Maximum Sports Channels, we're more than just a radio station.
You're listening to AFR, the Armed Forces Radio Network.
Hi, this is Jordan Addison, and you are listening to The Phil Nason Show.
Welcome back to The Phil Nason Show. Last week, we took a look at the Western Conference teams on the bubble, teams hoping to make the playoffs. And today we're going to take a look at the Eastern Conference teams that are fighting to make the playoffs And joining me to do just that, from sportsgoons.com, please welcome Jamian Smith. Jamian, how you doing? Welcome to the show.
Hey, how you doing, man? How you doing? Great day. Good. Can't wait to get on this basketball, man.
I can't either. Well, let's start with Boston. They've basically had a fire sale. They've gotten rid of all their best players, but they're still hanging around. They're only a couple games back. It's not such a bad bunch, is it?
Well, the Hawks put their summer league team in, and they still beat them by 20. They can fight for the AC. They're a scrappy bunch. They got a lot of guys in return for the stars they let go. They still have a shot at the AC, but I think Danny Ainge really don't want to go to the playoffs. He really wants those draft picks. They have so many first-round draft picks. I think Danny Ainge, he's looking for the youth sale, for the youth movement. And I think what's best for business for the Boston Celtics is to not make the playoffs. But like you say, they're hanging around. They're a couple of games behind the eighth seed. Because the bottom of the East is so bad that if you're below 500, you still have a shot, especially right now in January.
Oh, yeah, I think they have a pretty decent shot, actually, when you look at the teams ahead of them. They aren't, you know, I don't know that Danny Ainge doesn't want to make the playoffs, but he's looking for the future, obviously. When you get rid of Rondo, you got rid of Green. They still have a nice little nucleus there, though. They've got Kelly Olynyk, who's playing pretty well. Jared Sullinger's playing pretty well. And they have Marcus Smart, who's going to get a lot of opportunities to show why he was a top draft choice. So I think they're going to be all right. I don't know if they'll make the playoffs, but they should be all right. A team that I think might do it, though, is the Orlando Magic. I think they've got a nice nucleus down there with Vucevic, Harris, and Oladipo.
Yeah, I like the Orlando Magic. Matter of fact, you're going to hear me bring up the Hawks a lot because that's who I watch most of the time. And I have a keen eye on teams we played against. And Orlando Magic's beat us. Not too many people can say that. The Orlando Magic, matter of fact, in the game in Atlanta, took us down to the wire. I like Vucevic. You could tell they are a different team with him and without him. Without him, we beat them. With him, they beat us. Vucevic is a load down in the center position, 18 points per game, 11 rebounds per game. The guy is low. Tobias Harris, if he wasn't in Orlando, the guy could be a borderline superstar. But a lot of press don't go to Orlando, this, that, and the other. Aaron Gordon, he's coming back from injury. Oladipo, they finally put Alfred Payton at the starting point guard. They got a nice young squad down there. Jock Vaughn, he has a nice young squad. He's come from that Greg Popovich coaching tree, if you will, that shows the that also produced Coach Bud and also the coach out there in Philadelphia. If he can get those young guys to play right and play good, that's who I think can make a good run at the AC in the NBA playoffs.
Oh, yeah, I agree with you. I like Alfred Payton a lot. He's going to be fantastic at some point. Tobias Harris, he's fighting injuries. But Vucevic is a load. They should be all right, though. I'm not so sure they'll make the playoffs, but they're going to give it a good push. Indiana, they're another team who's a few games back. They lost Paul George. If they had Paul George, they'd be all right. But they have issues with George Hill being hurt, and they have issues scoring the ball sometimes. Can they make the playoffs, though?
I don't think so. I don't have any faith in the Indiana Pacers. You see, they are a completely different team without Paul George. Using the guy who averaged 23, 24 points per game, lost into that gruesome injury with Team USA. You can tell the difference in this team. They can't really score the ball, like you said. They don't have anybody create their own shot. The offense is very stagnant, and the defense has taken a step down. Indiana defense was a very good defense at one point. You know, with Frank Vogel, when he first came in, they trapped a lot. They played Hibbert, patrolled the paint. But injuries, like you said, to George Hill and David West, even Hibbert a little bit. Hibbert was out there by himself at the beginning of the season. But the Indiana Pacers, they're just struggling too much. I don't think they have what it takes to get to the playoffs unless Paul George makes a miraculous turnaround and come back in March, April, and they just go on a hot run. I don't see them playing in the NBA playoffs this season.
They still play defense. That's one thing they still do. They still play bruising defense. They're a good basketball team, but maybe they just won't make it. They missed that 24 points. They had that 24 points, it'd be a different issue, I'm sure. Now, Detroit, they're the second hottest team in the East. I think that's the team that's going to surpass Charlotte and Brooklyn, probably. What do you think about Detroit?
Oh, man, Detroit is rolling, man. They are rolling. Stan Van Gundy is a good coach. Now, all the teams that you have mentioned, Stan Van Gundy is the best coach out of all of them. So you got to have faith in that. If they had another coach, I'd probably go a different route. But Stan Van Gundy is going to lead those guys to the playoffs. He got rid of the cancer in Josh Smith. Cut bait with him. Still paying him. Cut bait with him. And since then, they have been rolling. Big victories. Big wins over some good teams like the Spurs and the Mavericks. And those guys, they don't quit. They used to quit. Because Josh Smith, I mean, I don't want to say it was all him. But you can see he had a lackadaisical attitude. They're getting blowed out. Then he shows it on his face. Because I saw it here in Atlanta. But when they played the Hawks was blowing them out. And they did not quit. They did not stop fighting. They came all the way back. It almost took the game into overtime. It's night and day between the two, between the pre-Josh Smith and post-Josh Smith. So Detroit Pistons, man, I think not only will they get the 8, they may get a 7 seed, perhaps a 6 seed, if they can keep rolling.
Yeah, that was something. They waive him. They don't even care to even try to trade him. Maybe they did try. Nobody wanted to. And they just cut bait and ran, and they've run with it. And I think that has a lot to do with Stan Van Gundy's style. There was a lot of crowding there with Josh Smith, Drummond, and Monroe. Now you don't have that anymore. Brandon Jennings has a little more room to run, and he's done that. They have a nice little bench, too. And I think that this streak of theirs is going to continue. I think they're going to be a team to be reckoned with in the future, too, if they can keep those young guys together and if they all buy into Stan Van Gundy's system. Charlotte, Omar Own, I don't even know what to say about them. Everyone told me how they were going to be a top 3 or 4 seed. I told them they weren't, but no one listened to me. Now they have to trade Lance Stephenson, probably. He's on the block. I don't know what to say about Charlotte. Al Jefferson's also hurt, too. That has a lot to do with some of it, too.
Well, when sum up Charlotte, I can sum up Charlotte in one word. Ready for it?
Sure.
Junk. Junk. That's what they are. I mean, Michael Jordan, he had almost a good thing going, but the Lance Stephenson, almost like the Josh Smith fiasco in Detroit. NBA teams are all about chemistry, man. If you don't have any chemistry, it would mess a locker room up. And Lance Stephenson has destroyed their chemistry. Not to mention the injury to Al Jefferson. That's just piling on with that. But I don't see them making anything. I don't see them doing anything. Kemba Walker, he's a great player. PJ Harrison getting a lot of playing time now. Kid Gilchrist, he's a good young player. But I just don't see it with the Charlotte Hornets this year. It was a great story. They changed the name. They came back. Cool colors, nice uniforms, but the Detroit Pistons is going to pass them. The Orlando Magic is going to pass them. Perhaps even the Indiana Pacers is going to pass them. They're just going to get worse and worse as the year continues.
The only thing that'll save them, I don't think they're junk, but the only thing that saves them is if Lance Stephenson gets traded and he gets traded for a nice piece. Because Kemba Walker's playing like an all-star this season. He's not going to make that, obviously, but he's still playing pretty well. And then you've got Brooklyn and Miami. They're a 7 and 8 seed. I don't think that Brooklyn's going to make it. I think Miami will. But, boy, this has been a lot of fun. Jamie, and thanks for being on the show with me.
No problem, man. No problem.
All right, that was Jamie and Smith. You can find him at thesportsgoons.com, and we'll be right back. You're listening to The Phil Nason Show. Welcome back to the Phil Nason Show. We're wrapping up an amazing day of sports talk. And now for our, bi-monthly NBA MVP awards and watch. Please welcome from SLCDunk.com, Amar is in the house. Amar, welcome to the show. Welcome back to the show. It's MVP talk time. And a lot of people seem to like to talk about this, and we usually do off the air. But who you got this week? Who's your top five, you think? For this week, who is it starting to narrow down?
Yeah, I definitely think so, because some guys are playing much better. Some players had good streaks, and some teams are kind of wishy-washy. So I think that it's pretty clear that you do have this separation going on. And unfortunately, it seems to be the same thing. You know, coach of the year goes to the best team. You know, MVP also usually goes to the best team as well for some reason. And for me, it starts off with Steph Curry. I think that he's doing really well with Golden State. They're winning a ton of games. They're winning games easy. And it's kind of like what they did with the Steve Nash time, that like they wanted to give MVP to somebody else and they wanted to reward someone who had been playing well for a while. And that's kind of who I have at number one.
I have Steph Curry too. My top five is interesting, actually. I've got Steph Curry. I've got Damian Lillard at number two now.
Oh, he's number five for me. That's awesome.
Wow. Jeff Teague is number three. Oh. James Harden, number four, and Russell Westbrook, number five. Boy, a lot of all point guards.
Well, that's the way that it's going. Like, who knows, in another month you may have John Wall up there with the way that he's been playing. But
I've got him in the top 10.
Yeah, same here. I do think that LeBron James is going to pull votes just because people are lazy with the voting, and he doesn't deserve it, and Cleveland doesn't deserve to have any representation on this, but I think LeBron James is in my top 10, and he's going to be sneaking up as well. But like, I went with LaMarcus Aldridge, you know, because I felt like they kind of go for bigs. Bigs get, the word I'm looking for here is that they are overemphasized in voting. You know, that's why you had to change the way that the All-Star vote was done, for example. Like, yeah, to have like a good big man, you know, they get overpaid as well. But you know, personally, I think LaMarcus Aldridge has surprised me. You know, Damian is probably a more dynamic player. He's in that like James Harden take control type of mode. It's going to be interesting to see how these teams play in the second half of the season. Personally, I'm excited to see which of these All-Stars are going to step up, and I'm also excited to see which of these, you know, MVP candidates are actually going to continue playing at this level. The main problem that I have with all of this is that it's the Atlanta Hawks. I can't find a legit MVP candidate on that team because it's such an amazing team with Korver and Millsap and Horford and even role players like Carroll. You said Teague, you know, try and sell me on Teague. Why do you think that he's an MVP candidate? Is it just because they're winning?
Yeah, I think so. And the other thing is, too, he seems to be a take charge kid. He's getting a lot better at it. But, you know, he's one of those guys who he's not a gun. He's not going to take too many shots, but he's a great facilitator. And he seems to be the leader on that basketball team. He seems to be the one that makes the engine go. And more importantly, he seems to be the one that Budenholzer trusts the most. And if you ask Paul Millsap, I'll bet you he would have votes for Jeff Teague. And I think Al Horford, too, Damari Carroll, all these guys are better because he makes them better. And I think that's what an MVP is. I don't think Atlanta does half of what they've done, and they've won, what, 24 out of 26 if it wasn't for Jeff Teague.
Right.
He just does those things so well. He does little things, too. He plays defense, and he rebounds, and he obviously is a great facilitator, but it's that leadership that I see from him that I don't see from guys right now like LeBron James, for example. I don't see any leadership out of him. I see a guy who sat back for a couple weeks and just kind of took it all in. I think LeBron James is going to be the general manager of the year. That's what I think. But as far as – and maybe coach too, but
– Yeah, we'll never know.
That's why I see Teague where I see him.
Okay. You know? Because like – your explanation for Teague makes sense, but it kind of validates my idea. The one guy that I don't think that you said that he's in my top five right now is Anthony Davis. Like, he's that take charge guy. Sure, they have a bunch of other players on their team who are contributing, kind of like what's happening with Atlanta, but, you know, he's got the points, he's got the rebounds, he plays defense, he passes. You know, he's becoming an increasingly smarter player. I like Davis, and I think that he is probably worthy of some MVP votes. He's in my top five. He's probably in your top 10.
I have him in my top 10.
Yeah.
I have all big men in the end, though. I have Marc Gasol, and I have LaMarcus Aldridge, and I have Anthony Davis. I also have Jimmy Butler in there.
Oh, my God. He's getting so much hype here in Chicago.
He certainly is, and I think he deserves it. There are nights when he lays eggs, though. So maybe he can't be an MVP because he does that. But there are nights when he just is fantastic. I mean, I like that kid a lot. He's really stepped it up. You know, on a team where you've got Derrick Rose whining all the time, what you've got is Jimmy Butler, who goes out there and takes care of business. You know, he's been to the line 301 times already this season.
Right.
And no, that's fantastic.
My rebuttal, I guess, is like, would he be so free to do all of this stuff if he didn't have Pau Gasol taking so much defensive pressure away? I don't know. It's an interesting thing. People over here are saying that, oh, he should be all NBA. You know, so is he really a top 15 player? I don't know at this stage. He's having a great year. He's probably going to take the most improved player award, which otherwise would probably have gone to someone like Gobert. But, you know, it's insane to think, well, maybe this is just me being a hater. I cannot possibly say that the Bulls have another MVP on their team. You know, Jimmy Butler is a nice player, but, you know, I would rather vote for, you know, James Harden. You know, he seems to be much more of a focal point for them on a less talented team playing in a harder conference.
I see what you're saying. I don't think Jimmy Butler's going to win. He's not in my top five.
Right.
But I think what he's done thus far at least will deserve him a couple of votes. How likely is it that Anthony Davis would win, though? Because his team's not winning. I think that has a lot to do with it. And not for me, though. I don't care, really. You know, I've got Gordon Hayward in my top 15.
Oh, well, I do not. So that's really nice of you. I do think that winning does influence the voters quite a bit. That's why they give the executive of the year to the team that probably makes the biggest move up. They give coach of the year, like I said earlier, to the coach that seems to, you know, oh, well, this team was bad last year, but it's good this year. It's the same type of award. MVP gets that as well. Best player on the best team. And I think that the MVP award and the best player on the best team award should be two different awards, because the most valuable player on a team that's already stocked, is he really that most valuable compared to the only good guy on a bad team? So I totally see that. And I think that Gordon Hayward definitely is one of the best players on a very bad team. But, you know, if we were going to reward teams that suck and a player who's getting a lot of stats, we'd have to bring Kobe back into this discussion. And I don't know if we're ready for that.
I'll tell you who gets that vote. Nikola Vucevic.
Well, I'm biased against Orlando for some reason. I don't even know why. So I know that he's having a tremendous year. He's definitely benefited from the maturation of Victor and the way that Channing Frye and what's their guy name? Harris is playing very well. But he is a very good player on a very bad team. But again, to answer your question, I'm sorry, but some of these teams are just so out of the picture that you can't see them winning any award. So you're right on that. Like, no matter what, a guy like Anthony Davis may get the votes, but he's not going to be on anyone's radar to actually win the award. Whereas some of these other guys, I think Steph Curry is probably, I haven't checked Vegas lately, but he seems to be the pace car at this stage. Everyone else is following him.
We got 30 seconds left. What about Russell Westbrook? Is he in your list?
No. But okay. I would rather give it to KD.
Okay. That's fair enough. I'll tell you what. This is a great discussion always. We'll be back in about 3 weeks with it again, and our list will probably change. Amar, thanks for being on the show with me.
It's my pleasure.
All right. That was Amar. And you can find him at slcdunk.com. And that's going to wrap it up for today's show. Until next time, y'all take care of yourselves. Be good. And most importantly,
ladies and gentlemen, my mother thanks you, my father thanks you, my sister thanks you, and I thank you.